My name is Garland Robinson. How does one contact the blood of Christ? Well, the blood of Christ is essential. We learn that without the blood of Christ, there's no forgiveness of sins. The very element, the thing that God planned, what Jesus did himself in dying on the cross, was to shed his blood. And that blood is the very element that takes away sin. We read in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, without the shedding of blood is no remission. But he also learned that all of the animals that were sacrificed in the Old Testament, that their blood could not take away sins. It was only looking forward to the time that the Lord Jesus Christ would come into the world, and it was through his blood that he shed one time for all time that would accomplish the forgiveness of sins. The sacrifices of the Old Testament had to be offered every day, every year, year in, year out. There was a remembrance of sin. There were always priests offering. There were always sacrifices being offered. And that had to be done continually. But when Jesus died on the cross, he died one time for all time. He tasted of death for every man. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. And that he does not need to offer himself again and again. Hebrews chapter 10. So, the blood that he shed is the way that God uses to wash our sins away. We read in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Men may not like blood. There have been those who have sought to take blood out of the Bible altogether. But yet you take away the blood of Jesus and you take away salvation, because the blood of Jesus is the means that God uses to take man's sins away. That is the drawing line, if you please. That's the dividing line between those who are saved and those who are lost. When one sins, that sin separates them from God. And if they continue in that sin, if that sin is never forgiven, even one sin, if it goes unforgiven and a person dies, that sin will cause them to be eternally separated from God. And it's the blood of Jesus that's the only way that sin can be forgiven. So how does one contact the blood? That would be a most important question to me. If sin causes me to be lost, and it does, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23, the wages of sin is death. We need to learn, how do I get forgiveness of sins? The blood of Christ is the very element that removes sin. So how do I contact the blood? How do I receive the benefits of that blood? And then when is it that I actually receive the blood and I have then forgiveness of my sins? Well, there is what's called in the Bible, or we think of, as the plan of salvation. This is God's plan. It's not my plan. It's not your plan. It's not anything that men have devised, because it is the plan that God has given. Jesus requires that one of the things essential to contact the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, is to believe in Christ. Jesus himself said in John 8, verse 24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. We learn in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 that without faith it is impossible to please God. We find in John 3:16 where God said that he so loved the world that whosoever believeth in Jesus Christ should not perish but have everlasting life. So there must be belief in Jesus Christ. But belief alone, or faith alone, trusting in Jesus as your Savior, if that's all you do, then that's not how you contact the blood of Christ. That is a step. That is an important step, an essential step. You'll never be able to contact the cleansing blood of Jesus unless you first believe. But there's more to it. James chapter 2, verse 24 and 26 says, faith without works, faith without obedience is dead. It is barren. It is useless. The Lord also commanded repentance of sin. In Luke 13:3, the Lord said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The same thing is repeated in verse 5 of Luke 13. In the sermon on Mars Hill that Paul made in Acts chapter 17 in verse 30, we read that there was a time God winked at or overlooked ignorance, but no longer. Now he commands all men everywhere to repent. Repent means to change the mind. We change our thinking, our attitude, our approach concerning an item. And that leads to a change of life, a reformed life, a cleaned up life. And without repentance of sins, there could be no blood of Jesus applied. So one, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, I repent of my sins. But even then, though these points are essential, the blood is not yet applied. There has to be more. Paul said in Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." There must be a confession of faith in Christ. We cannot confess Mohammed, cannot confess any other person or thing. Without confessing Jesus Christ, there is no blood of Christ. There is no cleansing of our sins. And then that's still not enough. That is essential. One must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, repent of sins. Number three, confess faith in Christ. But yet, without water baptism, you'll never contact the blood of Christ. There's no way you can have the blood of Jesus applied unto your life. When those on the day of Pentecost heard the preaching of Peter and the other apostles, they were convicted of their sins. They were guilty, and they felt it. They knew they were lost and undone in their trespasses and sins. And they cried out and said, "Sirs, what shall we do?" The answer from heaven through the mouth of Peter was, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins." That was the word that God gave them. How were they going to have remission or forgiveness of sins? It was by believing the things that Peter and the apostles preached. They did that. It was by repenting, Peter said. Repenting of their sins and being immersed into water for the forgiveness of sins. That was the express purpose of it, that one might become a Christian, that one would be baptized into Christ, Romans 6 and verse 3 and 4. And there they would contact the blood of Christ that they might have forgiveness. So baptism in water is essential. It's for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. Baptism is in order to wash sins away, Acts chapter 22, verse 16. Saul of Tarsus was told, "Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord." When was his sins washed away? They were washed away when he was baptized. He was baptized in order that the body of sin might be destroyed. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, "Knowing this, that our old man of sin is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." When is sin taken away? When is it removed? By being baptized, immersed into water for the forgiveness of our sins. One is baptized in order to be saved. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 says, "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." The like figure he's talking about here was concerning Noah and the flood. Noah received instruction from God to build the ark, and when they got in the ark, they were saved, spared from the flood of waters that killed all living things upon the face of the earth. As Noah was saved by water, that's what he's talking about, then water baptism saves us. Not, of course, the water. It's the faith and obedience that we render toward God. There's where we contact the saving blood of Jesus that washes our sins away. And when we're baptized, we're added to the body. Acts chapter 2, verse 46 and 47 again. One is baptized, and when they are baptized, They're added by God to the body or to the church. We read in 1 Corinthians 12:13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." Remember, Jesus is the Savior of the body, Ephesians 5 and verse 23. If He's the Savior of the body, and He is, then 1 Corinthians 12:13 says we're baptized into the body, then that's how we get in the body. We don't believe into the body of Christ. We don't repent into the body of Christ. We don't confess into the body of Christ, but we are baptized into the body of Christ. But baptism is only valid when we do believe, repent, and confess faith in Jesus Christ. We find that it was in His death that Jesus shed His blood. And it's in a reenactment of His death or a symbolism of His death where we contact the benefits of His blood. Notice Romans 6, verse 3 to 6 again, where Paul said, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried." See, baptism is a burial. It's an immersion. "We are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection." And what do we know when we're baptized? Romans 6 and verse 6 tells us what we know. We know that our old man of sin, our old man, is crucified with Him. Why? That the body of sin might be destroyed. If one is saved before water baptism, then there's no body of sin to be destroyed when one is baptized. But yet Romans 6 verse 6 says that we're baptized in order to do away with the body of sin, that old man of sin. And we read in verse 17 and 18 that once we've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered, the doctrine of water baptism, being then at that moment, at that instant, free from sin, we became the servant of righteousness. Now friend, that's how we contact the blood of Christ. And without the blood of Christ, there is no forgiveness. So how do we do it? By believing in Jesus Christ, repenting of our sins, confessing faith in Christ, and then being immersed into water for the forgiveness of our sins. And when we're immersed in water, there's where we contact the precious blood of Jesus that forgives us of our sins. And when we're raised up out of the water, Romans 6, 4 says, we now are a new creature. We're a new creation in Christ, and we walk a newness of life.